Now, in this week's Kitchen Science, Ben and I looked at the ultimate lazy scientist solution to putting candles out on the other side of the room without even having to get up. But first, which freezes quicker, warm water or cold water?
Hello and welcome to Kitchen Science. This week, we're attempting to explore why warm water might freeze quicker than cold water. Now, I have spent days putting different combinations of warm water in a large cup and warm water in a small cup and different size ice cubes. And for me, the cold water always freezes quicker. Dave, you're the Kitchen Science guru. You must have found something different, yeah?
Afraid not. I again spent a couple of days freezing lots of different things. I tried deionized water, I tried Cambridge water, I tried boiled water, warm water, cold water. And as far as I can tell, cold water freezes quicker than hot water.
But Chris said last week that this week's Kitchen Science would be finding out why warm water should freeze quicker than cold water. It sounds illogical, but I understand there are some situations where it does actually work.
Well, I have heard from some quite reputable sources that you can get it to work, but I'm afraid I can't. So instead, we're going to do a different kitchen science. Now, I don't know whether you've ever had this problem, Ben. If you've been sitting at a table and there's a candle at the other end of the table and you can't be bothered to go over to the candle to put it out, and you really like a way of being able to put out the candle remotely.
This sounds like a very typical Christmas situation where you've stuffed yourself so full of food that you just can't be bothered to get up and blow the candle out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Okay, so you have some kind of long-range candle blowing out technique for us, do you?
That's the plan, yeah. All you need for this experiment is a candle, obviously, a lemonade bottle, a big 2-litre lemonade bottle, and a little bit of tape.
So how are we going to set this up?
Okay, well, to be honest, it would work with just the empty lemonade bottle, but it's very, very hard to aim. So we're going to make some sights on this lemonade bottle. If you look very closely at a lemonade bottle, you'll notice there's a line running along it where the two halves of the mould were pushed together. And what we want to do is use this and make it a bit more obvious by sticking a piece of tape at each end of this line. So you can line them up and use them as sights.
Okay, so let's get some tape.
So we want to end up with a lump in the middle. So I've just stuck the middle of the tape to itself, with leaving two sticky bits at the ends. I'm just going to stick that on the line. Now, the sight isn't quite in the middle of the lemonade bottle, so you've always got to aim slightly high. So what I'm going to do is aim slightly above the top of the candle. Try and hold the lemonade bottle quite securely and then hit it in the middle with one hand while holding the other hand on the other side so it doesn't wobble too much when I hit it. And it might take a couple of goes. We'll just see what happens.
Nothing's happening at all, Dave. You're just making a loud noise.
Yeah, it does take a bit of practice.
So you're about a metre away from the candle. Is it not easier to be a bit closer?
Yeah, the closer you are, the easier it is to aim, fundamentally. You can do it from up to 2 or 3 metres away, but the aiming is a right pain.
Well, obviously the aim is a problem, Dave, because you haven't managed to do it yet.
Give me a few tries and we'll see what happens.
Okay, so once again, Dave's lining up the bottle and hitting the side. Oh, that time the candle flickered, but it certainly didn't go out, so he must be getting quite close. That time it really did flicker. Yay! So you were about just under a metre away, and all you did was hit the side of your bottle, and it clearly blew out that candle. How does that work?
Okay, to show what's going on a bit better, what I'm going to do is fill a bottle with smoke and try and do the same thing.
Okay, so you have another bottle. This one doesn't have sights on it. And in fact, that's got some water in the bottom. How's water going to help you put smoke in there, Dave?
I'm going to put in some dry ice, which is solid carbon dioxide. And if you put dry ice in water, as the carbon dioxide boils, it takes with it quite a lot of water vapour. When that meets the air, it tends to condense into droplets. Basically, fill the bottle with a small cloud.
OK, so we're filling the bottle with water vapour, and this should hopefully demonstrate things for us. You have a polystyrene tub full of pellets of dry ice, and as soon as you drop them in, they bubble like mad, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, you've probably seen this in pop videos. It's the stuff they use to make smoke on the ground in pop videos.
Could this also be what they have for mad scientists violently bubbling drinks?
Yeah, it's always the same thing.
Well, I suppose that mad scientists' violent drinks seem to suit us some way, but we've put a handful in now and it's pouring out of the top. That is totally opaque now. It's just full of vapour.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to achieve. Now, if I squeeze the bottle more gently than I was before...
Well, we're getting little puffs of this water vapour out of the top.
If you look very closely, sometimes you can see little rings coming upwards quite fast.
So it's really like you're blowing smoke rings using this bottle.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Okay, so if I squeeze the bottle, that squeezes a bit of fast-moving air up out of the neck, and this meets the slow stationary air from outside the bottle. Now, if you've ever watched water in a stream, when you get fast-moving water meeting slow-moving water, you get an eddy, this little swirl of water.
Yes, you get little spirals all along the place where the two meet.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the fast-moving air is meeting slow-moving air, but all the way around a ring. So you get a ring of eddy or a ring of a vortex. It's called a ring vortex.
So rather than a sort of two-dimensional eddy where it looks like it's going in a little circle, this works all the way round the neck of the bottle and you get a donut shape, a smoke ring.
Yeah, so you get a smoke ring. And the really neat thing about smoke rings or ring vortices is that if you imagine the eddy going round it, if you imagine the eddy on the right-hand side, that's going to be blowing the left-hand side of the ring upwards. If you imagine the eddy on the left-hand side, that's going to be blowing the right-hand side of the ring upwards. So the whole thing gets blown by its own wind forwards and up and away. So it will travel a long way.
So it sort of propagates itself by nature of its very shape, really. So what's this got to do with blowing out a candle over a long distance?
Well, basically, when you hit the bottle really hard, you create a very fast-moving smoke ring, with no smoke in it, so a ring vortex, which will travel across the room until it hits a candle and there's enough wind in it to blow the candle out.
And this is why you have to aim so carefully, because it's a relatively small ring that you're firing out. It's not like you're just going and pushing lots and lots of air past.
Yes, you're right. It's a little disturbance which will move through the air several metres.
Fantastic. So there you go. If you're at home with a candle on the table and you just can't be bothered to get up, grab yourself a plastic bottle, make some sights on it, and then spend a good 10 or 15 minutes working out exactly how to aim it to blow out the candle from the other side of the room. That's it for Kitchen Science this week. We wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we'll be back with more next year.
Thanks, Ben, and it was a very long-winded way to avoid getting up, I'm sorry. We'll be back in 2009 with a fresh batch of Kitchen Science, but if you want to do a science experiment before then, we've got loads of Kitchen Science experiments to do on our website at www.thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience, all one word.